unchained, totally loosened by the power of Almighty God. We walk, Father, by the leading of the Holy Spirit this morning in faith. Father, I'm so aware of your presence, and I thank you for that this morning. Lord, I pray that as we open up your word, that you will minister to each person in the sound of my voice this morning, Lord. Father, touch them because it's you. It's not me. It's you. And Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you are doing right now and all that you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You can sit down. Come on up here, Miss Sheila. I want you to read that. Back in the choir room, Sheila walked over to me and she says, I want to show you something. And it was a reading in her devotional. And I want her to read it because it leads right into what the Lord has given me to talk about this morning. So listen close to these words right here.
Okay. We all have a favorite devotional, I hope, and mine right now is Joy, The Joy of My Heart by Ann Graham Lotz, and she's so good. That's Billy Graham's daughter. And this is the verse. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are but dust. That's Psalms 103. My Sunday school class this morning, we talked about being as dust. And so we just consider ourselves God's little dust bunnies. Or as your cat coughs something up, what's that called? A fur ball? Okay. Well, that's what we are. Okay. Just accept it. God will never expect more from me than the Holy Spirit will do in and through me if I allow him the freedom. What a blessed relief to be reminded that God knows me. In fact, he knows me so well, he understands that apart from him, I can do nothing. I don't have to prove myself to God. I don't have to worry about disappointing God. I don't have to earn his respect. I don't have to deserve his blessings. I don't have to work hard to be accepted. I don't have to produce a quota. I don't even have to be successful. He created me in the first place. He knows how I am formed. He remembers that I am dust. I am just like a little dust person, infused with the very breath of God.
Coming down here this morning, Diane asked me, she says, are you nervous? I said, no. She said, well, you're used to it. You're used to getting up and singing in front of people, getting up and speaking in front of people. I don't get nervous because God gets up here with me, the Holy Spirit. I'm not a licensed minister. I'm not called to preach. But I'm kind of like Paul, where Paul said, I preach because I know who I'm talking about. And I know everybody in here this morning knows who I'm talking about. So we're going to go to one of Paul's writings, the book of Ephesians. If you want to follow me, and I know Ronnie does because he was after me last night before I left to give it to him. We're going to chapter 3 of Ephesians. And we're going to start in verse 17 and read to the end of the chapter. Now let me back it up to 16 so it makes a little more sense. I'm reading NIV this morning. I don't know why I grabbed this one. It's the one that was there. I got it. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 16. This is Paul writing, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What I felt led to share this morning is the love of God. How well do we experience that love of God? I want us to look at this gift, but here's what I want you to do. Listen to what's being said, yes. But think in your mind, what does God's love mean to me? And as you think on it and we go through this message, allow God's Holy Spirit to take it from your head to your heart. And I think you'll see a totally different light of God's love. Paul, he's writing to the Ephesians. He's a prisoner. He's been locked up simply for proclaiming the word of God. Does that sound familiar today? People are being locked up for proclaiming the word of God. But Paul refused to be quiet about Jesus. He just said, I'm going to preach Jesus crucified, risen, and coming again. And he says, I'm not going to complain about being locked up. I don't have any fear about being locked up. I don't have any self-pity about being locked up. And I don't have any regrets about being locked up, because it's Jesus. It's not me. And that's what I want you to get first thing this morning. It's not me. It's not you. If God has blessed you, all kind of talents in this church right here. As I look out, I see all kind of talent. Don't think it's all you. It's Jesus in you. All right. Let's go down to verse 17. I'm going to draw your attention to a few words. Keep thinking about what does God's love really mean to me. Verse 17, I want to borrow these words. And I pray that you being rooted, first of all. To be rooted, what does that mean? Well, it's springtime, and over in our neighborhood, if you go out our door and you look around, the trees are all blooming out with their beautiful leaves. But there's one or two that aren't. What's going on there? Well, let's look at rooted again for a minute. To be rooted means to be anchored in something. You're drawing nourishment from it. It's your life. It's your food. It's your water. It's what sustains you and causes you to flourish. Well, he says, Paul says, be rooted in God's love. Those couple of trees that I see that are pretty much dead, their roots have been severed. So they're no longer drawing that strength, that nourishment that they need. But we as Christians draw our strength and our nourishment from the Lord as long as we stay rooted in him. And our roots have to run deep in him. The deeper our roots run, the stronger we are, the bigger we grow in the Lord. It's not growing in ourselves. It's growing in him. It's in his love. It's all about his love. So we need to be rooted firmly in our Lord's love. Now look at the next word he puts out there. He says, I want you to be established in love. Well, what does established mean? I looked it up. Put on a firm basis. That's established. You are put on a firm basis. Well, what is the base of the Christian? It's the Lord, is it not? He is our foundation. We are building upon Him, not upon self, not upon anything else out there. We're building on the Lord. And as long as we are solid, you know what that means to be established on that firm foundation? That means that those piling, anybody in here an engineer, architect? Dieter? When they drive pilings in the ground, what are they looking to hit?
Solid rock.
Guess what? Jesus is the solid rock upon whom we stand. He is our foundation. When we're on Him, shifting sand doesn't affect us, does it? Remember the story about the one that built on shifting sands? Don't build on shifting sands, people. What is shifting sands in a Christian's life? Anything other than God. That's shifting sands. Don't build, you ready for this one? Your faith in Fairhaven's church. Don't build your faith in Leon, JD, Dieter, Dave, or anybody else. Build it only on Jesus Christ. And he said, if you go back to that story about when he was talking to Peter, he asked Peter, he says, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "Well, you're the Christ." And he says, "And on this rock," what rock? Was it Peter? No. No. It was on his word. "I'm going to build my church." And he said, "I'm going to build it." He's going to build it. We're here for a purpose. Not necessarily it's our job to add people to the church. We're here to help encourage them and to help them get along. But he says, "You encourage them, I'll save them." The Gaither Vocal Band, everybody knows who they are. They once produced a song, I believe the name of it was, "You Catch Them, God Cleans Them." He was talking about souls. Now, most of us would say, "Hey, we're fishing." But no, we are to be established on God's love deeply, with our pilings driven down solidly into that rock, standing on that. Now, there's a third thing he says. What is that? Look here. Further down in that verse, he says, he wants us to be deeply rooted. He wants us to be established, and that we may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is what? The love of Christ. The third ingredient is the love itself. Now, let's talk about love a little bit. Everybody likes to be in love. The most important word, we're talking about agape love. What does agape mean? Does anybody know? Unconditional. Absolute, unself-centered, brutal, sacrificial type of love. John 3:16, the most quoted verse in the Bible, says, "For God gave his only begotten Son." Agape love is always accompanied by giving up something. Maybe a life. Maybe something else. The Old Testament, years ago, before we got into all these new translations, not the Old Testament, the old translations, used to refer to love as charity. Now, when we think of charity today, we think of, well, somebody's giving me something. Do you know what charity is? It is love for mankind. That's exactly what it is. It is love for mankind. That is charity. It's something you did not earn. It is something you cannot pay back. It was given by our Lord by sending Jesus to that cross in our place. If he had not gone to that cross, if he had looked at his dad and said, "I don't want to do this," and stopped right there, what would have happened? How different would it be? But in his love, he finished out his thought and he said, nevertheless, not what I want, but what you will. I'll do that. That's unconditional agape love. It's decision-making love. Love that is fixed. Not love that's based on the spur of the moment, the passion of the moment, if you will. I have a great time nowadays. I've been married to that pretty lady sitting down here for 44 years this past Thursday. And I have a great time watching my own kids, but other people's too. When they walk down the street and, oh man, isn't she just the best looking thing? Ladies, don't go anywhere, because you know you look over at the guys and do the same identical thing. Man, he's nice looking. Wow. It's not that kind of love. It's love that goes beyond that. It goes to the sacrificial point. There ain't a man in here, I'm going to say this. Guys, if I'm wrong, you better tell me. I'm going to put you on the spot. There's not one of us gentlemen in here that would not lay down our life for our wife. Am I right or am I wrong? They're awfully quiet, ladies. Talk to them. To be loved by God is an act of charity, something we received that we did not earn and we can't pay back. 1 John 3:1 says this to us. How great is the love of the Father that has been lavished on us that we should be called children of God? And that's what we are. And the reason the world doesn't recognize that is because they don't know Him. They can't recognize that agape love until they come to know Him. And I know everybody's going, he's preaching to the choir this morning. Well, I am. They're here. But no, it's something we all need to hear and we all need to learn. There is a deeper love, and our love can be deeper and stronger, rooted, established. Now, God wants you to know a few things about His love. Maybe some of you already know a few of these. Let's try you out. Ephesians 1:4-6 says, God has loved you for a long time. He says, He set it in His heart upon adopting you into His family before the world began. That's Ephesians 1:4-6. His love for you is the starting place of your Christian life. Well, I knew that, Leon. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. While we were yet sinners, He loves us. How about a third one? He wants you to know that nothing can ever cause His love for you to stop. That's Romans 8:35-39. Now, I told you I wanted you to think about what God's love means to you in your head. And through the Holy Spirit moving in your life, let it go to your heart. Well, look at verse 18 with me for a minute. Verse 18 reads, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long, high and deep is the love of Christ. With all the saints. Anybody in here a loner? If you are, I've got something to say to you in a minute. The reason we need to do this is that we can have the fullness of God in us. We may be able to comprehend the height, the depth, the length of God's love. Able means to be a concentrated effort, a focused effort on God's love that does not quit until that love goes from here to here. And we should be that way constantly. We should know in the heart. One of my biggest pet peeves is when I'm talking to people who profess Christianity and they go, well, I think I'm saved. Or, I hope I am. That's not what God's word says. God's word says we know we are. We need to know we are. How do you get able to understand God's love? Through his word, for one thing. Through study. Through prayer. Through communion with God. I get tickled sometimes when I'm walking in a store and some guy walks by me or some woman walks by me and they're just talking away. And the first thought that hits my mind is, they're insane. They're talking to themselves. Then they'll turn a little bit and I'll see that little thing hanging on your ear over here and I know they're on a phone. Well, I walk through the store and I don't have one on my ear and sometimes I talk. And I'm sure people are looking at me and going, he's insane. But I'm talking to God. I walk in the store sometimes with that lady over here and I'm talking to her and she's 2 aisles back somewhere. Then they really think I'm insane. But talk to God. Commune with him. You have to spend time with somebody to know them. Just to meet them in a fleeting moment isn't good enough. I met a guy last night here, and by the way, Dave, I want to give you many kudos. You did very well last night. Very good. Met Alan Ritter last night. Wonderful gentleman. Wonderful guy. He's the son, if anybody knows any country music artist by the name of Dewey Ritter, Dewey was his father. But I met Alan last night and got to know Alan because I spent time with him. And you don't just get to know somebody by just saying, hi, I'm Leon. Hey, I'm Alan. You get to know them by being around them. And that's where I was going with the loner part. Being a loner is a dangerous thing because you leave yourself open to a lot of attack from the devil. We need each other. That's why we come together like we are right now. Not just to hear God's word proclaimed by somebody, but to fellowship with one another. Last night was all about the fellowship. It wasn't about the talent that was there. It was all about the fellowship. And that was drawing each other closer together. I got a call this past week from a preacher friend of mine. Has a little church down off Centralia Road. His name is Fred Smith. And Fred says, Leon, I'm calling because the Lord has given me a July 4th program to do. And he says, I don't have a big enough choir. So I'm wondering if you would spread the word and see if any of your choir members would be interested in going down there and singing in this program. I said, well, when are you practicing? Well, Sunday night from 5:30 to 6:30. Then I have a church service. I said, I'll talk. I won't guarantee. And I told Fred I would do what I could do for him, but that's where I have to draw the line because I can't make people go and do things. That's not in my control. But God said to me, you go and be a part of it. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little hesitant. I'm comfortable at Fairhaven's. I don't know how I'm going to feel down there. Now, Fred and I are good friends. Like I say, he's a licensed minister, and he married my former one of the first pastors, anyway, that I ever had. He married one of his daughters. So that's how I came to know him. But I'm not comfortable. My wife's going to come up here after it's over with and or I'll come down there and she's going to touch my back and go, you are wringing wet. I told you I'm not nervous. I'm not. I just want to deliver what God wants the way he wants it delivered. I got one of the best compliments yesterday. Dave, you swelled my head when you told me that I just do what God tells me to do. And that's what I do. And that's what I'm doing right now. I know you know the love of God. I know you know who God is. But the question is, how well Do you know him? Is it just a passing relationship? Good morning, Lord. It's Sunday. I'll give you an hour. Is it a seven-day-a-week relationship where I go to bed and I talk to God before I go to sleep? I wake up and I talk to God before my feet hit the floor. Is it one where I dwell in his word constantly? Or is it one where I brush the dust off the Bible before I bring it to church the next Sunday morning? How well do we know God? How well do we know that love that surpasses all knowledge? That's what it says. It surpasses all knowledge. Knowing God is one thing. Knowing about God is something else. Yeah, I've heard of him, but I don't want anything to do with him. Well, you don't know him then, do you? You know about him. I want to get to the point where his thoughts are my thoughts. Not my thoughts are his thoughts. That's the point I'm trying to achieve. I want to be exactly what he wants me to be 24/7. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to go where he wants me to go. But the only way I'm going to do it is to understand the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth or the width of his love. I have to be rooted in it. I have to be firmly established in it. And I have to know just how deep that love is for me. So I'm going to tell you exactly how deep his love is for you. His word said that he loved us while we were yet sinners. He loves you beyond any measure. Even Paul could not measure it. He just said the height, the depth. You ought to know the height and the depth, the length and the width of his love. God loves you so much, he gave his only son so you would be forgiven of your sin. And all he asks in return is for you to love him back. That's all he wants. He wants unconditional agape love from us. You know, the Bible tells us we should love each other with agape love. You ever read that one? It's in there. So how much of it has gone from your head to your heart right now? What does God's love really mean to you this morning? I see a smile that tells me it's gone to a heart. That's allowing God to do it. To know the height, the breadth, and the depth of God's love will totally change your life. To walk in that love, it is a blessing. I felt the Holy Spirit in here this morning in the singing. Sandy, beautiful, beautiful. Y'all sang beautiful this morning. I heard you. But I felt the Holy Spirit. So I'm led to say this. You can come on up if you want to. I'm led to say this morning. If you don't know the love of the Lord like you should, ask him to open you up to it. Don't be afraid. He's not going to do anything radical. He won't embarrass you, but he will change you. So you have to give it to him totally, completely. Turn loose, let go, let God be God this morning. The love of God is deeper than you think for you and me.